Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this moment of the worship service. And I want it to be just as much of a blessing as the previous portions were. Therefore, we need your Spirit now in a mighty way. I need your Spirit, Lord, so that the words of my mouth and the testimony of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, Lord, in your sight alone. So that when all is said and done, we can say we heard Jesus and we saw Jesus. And thank you for hearing and answering, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to review with you for a moment before I take you to our lead-in. I've been talking about stewardship. And we discovered so far in stewardship, number one, we are what? We are all stewards, right? Number two, a steward manages the property of another. And number three is the one that trips everybody up. A steward owns nothing, even the clothes on your back. Those are all borrowed. By the way, if you don't believe me, stick around as we continue the series, and the Bible will convince you that it's absolutely true. If you have a stash somewhere that you've got a little sign on it that says, "When I die, this goes with me," it ain't going to go. A steward owns absolutely nothing. And finally, 1 Corinthians 4:2 tells us a steward be found what? Ooh, whoops, what happened here? Where did my faithful go? Oh, I lost my faithful. My faithful wasn't very faithful. The word was supposed to have been there, but it disappeared. So, to start our sermon today, as we continue the stewardship, and you're going to be surprised as we look at where is my flock? I want to teach you a song. This is Isaiah 40, verse 11. All right, let's recite it. Ready? He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Okay, now that happens to be a song. This is King James, Isaiah 40:11. Some of you already know it. You need to sing really loud so you can drown me out. But I want you to learn this with me. We'll sing it a couple times. Ready? He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Let's try it one more time. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Well, what does this song from Isaiah 40, verse 11 have to do with where is my flock? I invite you, in order to find out the answer to that question, to take your Bibles, if you would, and let's go to Psalms 78, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. Psalms 78. I want everybody to turn in your Bibles. Children, open your Bibles. It's the Word of God. Follow along as I read, and you, the Spirit will speak to you. You'll see things you never saw. You'll hear things you never heard. And God will answer the question, where is my flock? Psalms 78, starting with 1. We're going to read through verse 8. Now, does everybody still hear pages turning? That's a good sound. That's a good sound. Psalms in the middle of the Bible. Almost. Not quite. 78. That's almost the middle of Psalms. Except chapter 19 is so huge. And we're going to read verse 1. Here we go. Listen carefully. Give ear, O my people, to my what? My law. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that sets not their heart aright and whose spirit has not steadfast with God. Here we have a declaration from Asaph in which he tells us clearly that God expects us to do what? Now you're going to say, keep my commandments, obey God, da-da-da-da-da-da, but that's not what I'm talking about. We're to teach them to our children. We are to teach our children about God's law and God's words, what the Bible says. And I want you to know that verse 5, for He established testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our father that they should make them known to their children. Make them known. And then notice what it says in verse 6. I want you to see this. Verse 6 says, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Now I want to look at a word there, believe it or not, in verse 6, and that word is declare. That they should declare them to their children. That's an interesting Hebrew word, and I gave you the rendition. It's a prime root, and it means to score with a mark as a tally or record, that is to inscribe. Do you understand what that's saying? I mean, that word that said declare, see, this is the beauty of language, in at least some foreign languages or so. You don't have to be a scholar. All you have to do is have a dictionary. I look up my Hebrew dictionary and it tells me what that word means. And so we say the simple word declare. Okay, kids, listen up. It is not saying that. It is saying you are to write it on their hearts. You're to inscribe it there. Do you see the intentionality of this word? Do you see the depth of this word? It means much more than the simple utterance of declare. In fact, let's carry this a little farther and take a look at Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. Go a little farther back in your Bible, the fifth book that Moses penned. I want you to look at Deuteronomy 6. And by the way, I'm skipping chapter 4, which also says almost the same thing. But there's a special word here that we find in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. So take your Bibles, if you would. Go back to Deuteronomy. Let's look at verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now let's take a look at the first part of this. Moses talking to the children of Israel before he departs. He says, and thou shalt teach them what? Diligently to the children. Diligently. By the way, what are we talking about? Look at verse 1. Now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord thy God and keep all the statutes and commandments which he commanded thee, thou and thy sons' sons, all of the days of thy life, and thy days may be prolonged. God wants you to live a long, healthy life and enjoy it. And also take a look, if you would, at verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. These are the things you are to diligently teach to your children. Now I'm going to blow you away. Let's take a look at the Hebrew word diligently and see if you're not as surprised as I am and enlightened as I was when I realized this. That Hebrew word means to point, and the intensive form means to pierce. Wait a minute. Didn't I say teach? Thou shalt teach them diligently to pierce. To pierce? The intensive form? To pierce? What in the world does that mean? Pierce? Diligently. The idea here presented, just as the words are cut into stone tablets with a sharp object, so the law should be impressed on the hearts of the children of all generations. That is what it is saying. And by the way, when we're talking about the law, we're coming from the Old Testament, folks. I don't want you to think that we're talking just about the Ten Commandments. We're talking about every utterance that God has made in both the Old and New, and we're going to look at a New Testament verse right now in a second, and then I'm done. I wrap up. We are to etch it on their hearts. Now tell me what was etched on tables of stone, folks. Ten Commandments. They were so deeply engraven that you can't erase them. Did you know that? It's impossible to erase them. They're etched. That stone. By the way, they were written with the finger of God. You didn't think anybody could mess with that? We are to etch the Word of God into the hearts of our children. A steward must be faithful. How are we doing with our children, folks? How long is your TV on at home? How long and hours are you spending on the computer? I can go on and on and on. How about the iPod stuck in your ears for hours listening to music that I will bet you is not gospel? How are we doing? I'm worried. I'm worried because my boys are now 22 and 20, and I see too much of me in them, and I'm scared. Some of you got little kids, so I'm talking to you especially. Some of you are grandparents. course, that's a frustrating position to be in. How are we doing? Are we etching the Word of God into the hearts of our children by the way we act, by the things we see, by the words we speak, by the behaviors we perform? They're watching. How are we doing with our kids? I want you to go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. I want you to see this isn't an Old Testament thing. In fact, it really gets my dander up and gets my blood boiling as well as my juices flowing when someone tries to tell me we're a New Testament church and not an Old Testament church, when the two go exactly together. And notice what the Old Testament said we're now going to have confirmed in the New Testament. And how amazing it is that Jesus can take a smaller part of the book and confirm what the larger part of the book was written by the prophets. And I want you to notice verse 4 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Children, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of promise. Do you hear that, Roland? That it may be well with thee, and thou may livest on the earth. Otherwise, I'm going to kill you, boy. But then God speaks to me and He says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's interesting, after He speaks to the children, that He then targets the father. And He says, do not provoke your children to wrath. That's a whole sermon in itself. But instead, let's look at what He says we're supposed to do. We are to what? Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the internet. We are to bring them up in nurture and admonition of secular society and public education. You say no. Are we bringing our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? And again, I want to refer to this just briefly to tantalize you just a little bit. How many hours do you spend with your children in which it has revolves or centers on God versus all the daily activities and worldly entertainment? Ephesians 6:4, the Greek word means tutelage, that is, educate and train, instruction by word, calling attention to. Nurture. Nurture. But the other word, admonition, blew me away. Admonition is made up of two words, that Greek word. The intellect, that is the mind, and to place. We are to place the Lord in their intellect, in their minds. How are we doing? A steward has to be faithful. You do not own your kids. I don't own mine. They're a gift from God. And as a steward who owns nothing, I am told and directed in the Scripture on how to raise them so that the Lord can keep them for eternity, sharing them with me. How do we put our children into Jesus' hands? Where's my flock? God will ask us in the last days. I want to give you four answers in quick succession. Number one, you bring them to Sabbath school and church. How are you doing at that? Do you arrive here at 10:15 with your children when Sabbath school starts at 9:30? And yet maybe the night before they spent 4 hours in front of the TV and they can't even come for 1 hour with our precious Sabbath school teachers who do an incredible job and come here earlier than you do to get everything ready. They come during the week to cut things out, to pace things, to do whatever they do extra. A lot of times they buy their own stuff. And what does our people do? They either ignore it, come late. And this is one of the things that God gave us parents to protect us. Because the world is hammering our children. Number one is Sabbath school and church. Number two is daily family devotions. Are you having daily family devotions? Like at the breakfast table when you're all sitting there together. Anybody ever hear of that? And father pulls out a little book that's suited perfectly for the age of the children you have and reads something, maybe even while you're eating. That's not the best, but it sure is better than I'll guess most of us are doing. And then have a prayer over your flock. Men, you should utter the names of your wife and children out loud in their hearing in prayer before anybody leaves that house. I could go on about that for hours. I'm not going to. But I'll tell you this. Those parents that are here today that are concerned when church is over, I'm going to meet with you for no more than 10 minutes. I have printed material to give to you if you're concerned about your children. How to pray for them? Right here, 10 minutes is all it takes. Once I start, I'll be done in 10 minutes. You'll have text, and I even have handouts to give you to pray for your children. This one is how to pray if you have a prodigal child. Look at that. That's beautiful. That is not paper, folks. This is beautiful, glossy color. It has promises and words that you can pray for your children. I'll give you those at the end, so I'm not going to belabor it. But Sabbath school and church God gave us to raise our children. We must be faithful. He gave us daily devotions that we can have at the home so the children can especially hear their father. By the way, if you're a single parent, don't feel guilty. God considers you the father and the mother, or the mother and the father, depending on what single you are. And you do the best you can, and I guarantee God will come through for you. Number three, we have. You ready, Ron? Pathfinders and adventurers. And you think that's funny? Because we can bring them in a Christian context and they'll learn how to do activities that are social and fun, including campouts and trips in a Christian context instead of a worldly environment. And finally, but not last, for sure, is we have what? A church school. How are we doing with that? A church school. What's it called? LVJA. I want every child in this church enrolled in LVJA. Why? Because we're to be faithful stewards. We're to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. By the way, you'll say, well, Pastor, let's go back to Deuteronomy. And I'll go, boy, you're really sharp. And let's go back. And didn't it say when you walk in the house, you talk, and when you do? Yeah, but folks, we're not there anymore in the house. We send our kids off to public school, and we go to work, and sometimes they come home, and we're not home, and what do? Yeah. God foresaw this and gave us church schools. I don't care. And the number one thing I hear, Pastor, it's too expensive. This church will help your child. All you got to do is tell us. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. The whole church doesn't find out. Only a small group. They work on that particular goal to get all our kids in a church school so no one else in the church knows. You just send your kid to school. That's all it takes. Number two, it's too hard. It's too far away and transportation's a problem. And we've got our parents right now that are sharing rides together. What's that called? Carpooling. Thank you. right out of my head. And let me look at this. God says to you, bring up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and He's not going to find you a ride for your child? Come on, think. Listen, the reason I can be so emphatic to you is there's times that I think that way. And I go, what are you doing? Don't you believe the Word of God, Peter? It says, bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. So that means that whatever we have to do in order to implement His words that we are to have etched in our hearts and minds, He'll take care of it. And it may take others who don't have children to help. But that's the way the Christian community works. We have a church school. By the way, look at this. Woo! We got a principal. Arlen, I got this off the internet. I did. I don't even think it was your website. I think it was the website of private schools. And it put me off to our school, which is on a private Las Vegas private school website in which they include ours. And I think out of 5 stars, we had 4. We had 4-star rating. So we have a principal, Arlen. And Arlen, by the way, you know me. I'm going to ask you to come up and talk to us right now and didn't tell you a word about it. And we have 4 teachers that are beautiful. Galacia, Sandra Deppner, Connie Wade, and Merle Bradley. Would you please stand at this time? Merle's here. Connie's here.
DeSeal had to go to California.
These, and Sandy's here. These are 3 of our 4 teachers and our principals. What can you say?
Amen.
Amen. We are very proud of them. We're proud of our school. And and it is succeeding. You know, by the way, you don't even know that someone came up to me today and said, I'm re-enrolling my child in the school.
Hey, bless their heart.
Yeah, so there's another one. So come on up here. By the way, we've got Fran Sisk, who is our administrative assistant. And, of course, Tiara Wallace is our business manager. Let's see now. I'm going to let you talk, but this will be the 2nd year in a row that our school has been in the
black.
And our enrollment has stayed stable or risen.
That's correct.
In this economic downturn.
Amen.
Isn't that incredible? I'm going to be quiet.
It's amazing that for every child we've had move out of the area this year, God has provided another child immediately. We have not missed a day. You know, Pastor Neri has done that's a super job, huh?
Oh.
But I want the church to know that they are really involved in what we're doing because we have Joe Palmerazzo, who happens to be our school board chairman.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention Joe.
Where are you, Joe? That's so people here know you.
He's Italian, so he's very shy and unassuming.
You know, and sitting somewhere right back beside him is Connor Yahiro McLean. Connor, where are you? Okay. Connor was here earlier this morning. She's our home and school leader. And she made an effort to come here today to have a presence here. But her brother-in-law just died this morning. That's how much she values the young people of this church. But you know, the most important people is not you, Peter.
No. Nope.
And it's not me.
Nope.
And it's not Joe, and it's not Merle or Sandy or Connie. It's our young people. And I want to see our young people and their parents stand up because it takes a family to raise a child. So kids, let's stand up.
Yeah, our church school kids.
And parents.
Up. And parents, yeah.
Mason, you went to school there. I want you standing
up. Mason,
I want your
stand
parents
up,
standing up.
Mason, standing up.
Who else have we got out there? Where's Jorge?
Jorge's in the booth there.
Oh, there he is back there.
Mm-hmm.
These are the best kids you can find. And if you don't think that this school is doing something special, talk to these young people.
Yeah.
But more than that, talk to the young people's parents that are not Seventh-day Adventists, and they're coming from the public sector, and once we get them, they don't want to go back. That's what a good job your kids are doing to evangelize your neighborhood. That's what a good job that your teachers are doing.
Yeah.
You talk about the Ten Commandments. Sandy Duffner's class got up and did a presentation at our chapel. All the kids knew the Ten Commandments.
Etched.
They don't get that anyplace else, people. And I'm so proud of that school, and I'm so proud of the effort that this church is putting in to supporting Las Vegas Junior Academy and the commitment they've made to making sure that our enrollment continues to go forward. You know, right now we have 30 kids registered for next year, and at this time last year we had 2. Now, that isn't something we've done. That's something God has done.
Yeah. Amen.
God is blessing that school, and we want you to be an integral part of it.
Yeah.
So, Pastor Neri, thank you for that sermon today. It was tremendous. And thank you, people from Paradise, for helping that school. It's God's school, and you're an integral part of it. So, thank you.
Hey, but I'm not done yet.
Oh.
You can go home. I got to talk to the teachers now. So, teachers and principal, the Paradise Church parents and congregation want you to put our children in Jesus' hands. We want you to teach them about Jesus as well as how to read and write. That's what makes our church school different from public school, and why not only it excels, but our children excel above the average student around the country, have lower test scores than our children at our school. Every year it happens. Talk to Joe Pomerazzo about that. He will explain it to you. But this is what we want. This is what we want. That if Jesus takes the lambs in His arms, then we want to put the lambs in His arms. Now, while you're pondering this thought and what you're going to do if you have children, or what you're going to do even if you don't have children, but maybe have some means to help those who are going, I want you to consider that as our deacons now wait upon us and take the offering.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2010. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.